The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, we have to do our little bit of biblical knowledge, right? Diving in again here, the end of the Gospel of Mark, we receive what are known as, say, two alternate endings for his gospel, and none of which the consensus goes are really attributed to Mark. So we have this great. The great reality of celebrating the feast of St. Mark, trying to use the Gospel of St. Mark with words that he really more than likely didn't write. So, okay, great. It's significant, though, of course, because it is the closing of the Gospel, and certainly then we see something of. So, can I say why we don't have the conclusion of the Gospel of Mark is because this happened very often with scrolls. Okay, like the end bit gets a bit, curled up or worn out or whatever, and so we're not missing much of it, and by the time we get this particular account, this is probably about the size of the thing that's missing from the Gospel of Mark. We're pretty confident that it's not Mark who wrote this because it just doesn't have this flavor. It doesn't really have the zest of St. Mark. It doesn't have the power. It doesn't, right? I mean, you can read the Gospel of Mark. I mean, it's almost every word is just packed with power, and it's very short, right? And it can be short. It's packed with power. And then we get to this, and it feels a little bit flat, and then there are kind of, this includes points of summation that have just, just transpired in the Gospel, so it's a bit of a, hey, that just happened, but we just don't see that in his Gospel. But it's significant because this is what the early Christian community receiving the Gospel of Mark knows to be, say, lacking in some sense from that little piece of scroll that they don't have. So it's actually very interesting to see how the gospel is being proclaimed and how it's being, say, echoed back in the faithful writing of a conclusion. For the Gospel of Mark, it needs a conclusion. Everybody knows that. Okay, you don't want to just leave it unsaid, like these little things. But it's important for us to see how then the gospel is being received, which is significant because our task is to receive the gospel, and of course this is what St. Mark would want us to be doing on his feast is receiving the gospel, receiving the gospel that of course he has recorded. So let me give it also, we have some sense of the relationship between Mark and Peter from that first reading, that the letter of St. Peter, and it's significant, right? It's a significant relationship. One recent translators and expositors of the Gospel of Mark has said, actually has entitled his book, The Memoirs of St. Peter. Right, so the Gospel of Mark is the memoirs of St. Peter. I think it's interesting, but certainly based on St. Peter's preaching and something of, say, the relationship that is being conveyed between, say, Peter and Jesus and witnessed to by Mark is then encapsulated very well in his Gospel. Anyway, let me go into this. Yeah, go into the whole world and proclaim the... So what do we get? We get this although it's not terribly Markan, it's a little bit flat and lacking some of the energy of the gospel to this point. We're getting the reflection of, say, like, what has St. Mark attempted to communicate? What are we receiving from this gospel as then the moral imperative of our life? Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature." Actually, the translation should be something like, "Proclaim the gospel to all of creation." Okay, not just every creature. I don't know if you want to think about that. Of course, the sense again, the early Christian anthropology, the view of human beings that is totally pervasive in the early Christian community is that we're reanimated in order to live according to the plan, God's eternal plan. We're reanimated to live according to the plan of God. We are his holy nation, his kings and priests, and so we have to be about the work in the world, restoring the world by raising it up into prayer, into thankful praise of Almighty God, and then using it, say, in his service. So he's pouring his life into us, and we are drawing on his power, the power of heaven, in order to bring his good order, his thriving, flourishing to all of creation. Okay, so we're going to play that role as intermediaries here. So proclaim the gospel to all of creation. What does it mean? It means something like no stone left unturned. Okay, so this is true, right? No stone in the entire world, no stone should be left unturned, and every one of those stones turned needs to be turned by charity. Okay, so this is the great task of the Christian, to bring renewal to the entire universe. So it's so great that we're going off to Mars now and all the rest. Right? We have to bring charity there as well. Okay, we have to bring order there as well, to bring full flourishing to every corner of creation. Okay, then it's whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Okay, so what is it? It means that Jesus has accomplished this great work by which human nature is renewed. It's then in Jesus, entrusting ourselves to him, following where he leads, that the renewal is effected in us. So whoever believes and is baptized, whoever makes their way through the waters of Jesus' death and resurrection, that is salvation. That is salvation. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. Simply because our state prior to being rescued by Jesus is the state of condemnation, is the state of non-renewal, not being renewed. So we're going to live into that. Again, this is all in reflection on Mark's gospel. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons, speak new languages, pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm. I mean, I don't recommend going, you know, like, it's, maybe try to pick up the snake and tell me how that goes. But don't drink the deadly thing, okay? But this is, actually, I'll tell you what, let me give you commentary on the scriptures at this point, yeah? The best commentary on the scriptures is what? The life of the saints. Okay, so I finally finished watching the Mother Teresa movie. I think it was the most recent one. What was that called? I don't even remember. But it's the more recent Mother Teresa movie. There's a lot of talking heads, the people talking about her, and there's some clips from her life and that kind of thing. And actually, when I read this and I go, okay, yeah, they'll drive out demons, speak new languages, pick up serpents with their hands, drink any deadly thing, whatever. That's them, right? Okay, that's them, but that's us. So those are missionaries of charity. You should watch it just to kind of open your mind about like what Christian charity can, perhaps even should, look like, and see in the sisters, especially because it focuses on the sisters and on Mother Teresa, that work of renewal, and see how they are renewed such that their lives become charity, but then see the effect of charity. So there was one of the sisters working, I think she was on Hallow recently as well, she's working in New York City. And she's, again, working with very impoverished people and the rest. But you just see what charity can do. And actually, it's better than this stuff. Who cares if you can pick up a snake with your hands or drink any deadly thing? It doesn't really matter. But you can see lives renewed by the application of charity in all things. That's a miracle worth talking about, right? This is, again, the preaching the gospel and the rest. Okay, and they will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. We see that throughout. So, and again, I'm going to say, don't pin it on the missionaries of charity. This is what we have to do as a people. We ourselves are missionaries of charity. Yeah, sorry, Mother Teresa, I just ripped you off. But we are missionaries of charity. We have to be missionaries of charity. Okay, the Lord Jesus. Now we say, okay, but I'm not sure that I can do that. I'm kind of left by myself, left to my own devices. What am I going to be able to do there? Okay, but we see here, this is the, say, the climax and the final punto, the end, okay? Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven, took his seat at the right hand of God, hold it together with this. They went forth and preached everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. Okay, so this is it, the ascension and ascending of the Spirit. We can't do it. But here Jesus, right, and we've seen it, he's defeated death, right? We're participating in his death and resurrection. He is ascended so as to send the Spirit. He worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs, right? We're bringing the word to life. And he is the one making it to be that, say, full flourishing word, as it were. His word is not left ineffective. It is, in fact, effective, but it's effective in us and it's effective through us. So it's ours then, of course, in the spirit of the Gospel of Mark and in the spirit of the community that first receives the Gospel of St. Mark and is witness in any number of ways to the relationship that, say, Peter had with Jesus and that Mark had with Peter and that he had with Paul and the rest. Our reception of that great preaching enables us to then go out and proclaim the gospel to all of creation, to live into the new life that Jesus has won for us, knowing that he is accompanying us all the while, that he's inspiring us, he's nourishing us, he's sustaining us to be the missionaries of charity that he's calling us to be.